to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. I want to thank my co-host and associate, Keith Alexander, for his services to the show during our opening hour. Now moving into our second of 3 hours tonight. It is Saturday evening, August 6th, and I'm coming to you from the very hot downtown studios of AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network across the country. And, of course, we are simulcasting online to a worldwide audience of TPC fans at thepoliticalcesspool.org and Liberty News Radio .com. During our opening hour tonight, Keith and I covered a few of the big stories that have been highlighted on our website this week. The biggest story we're bringing to your attention right now, and to help me do just that, welcome back to the show my good friend and yours, Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance Magazine. Jared, welcome back.
Thanks very much. It's a great pleasure and an honor.
Well, Jared, you wrote an excellent piece for Amren.com this week about a man that I'd like for you to give a little background information on to our audience, Frank Borzarelli. In your article, you did a great job of breaking down Frank's very impressive bio. I'd like for you to first, before we get into why he's the subject of our interview tonight, tell people a little bit more about Frank.
Frank is a remarkable guy. He has done a great deal. He has written four or five different books. He was a regular columnist for the Leader Observer newspaper chain in New York City for many years. He was an elected school board member in the Bronx for 11 years. And he has also been a speaker at American Renaissance conferences on four different occasions. And he has written several articles for American Renaissance. And he's actually written a book on something that's completely unrelated to any of these things. It's called The Physics of Dark Shadows. He's a big fan of the Dark Shadows television program.
I remember that, yes.
Yes, and he's written about what kind of physics would have to have gone into the kind of time travel and ESP and other things that are in that program. But his best books are about his experiences as a kind of a pro-white activist, and they're called The Unspoken Truth, and also he's written one called Don't Take It Personally. But, no, he has done many, many things, but one of the things that he's done is stand up for white people, and that, of course, is what he's in trouble for now. I suppose I should add that in recent years, for the last 6 years, he has been working very hard to help children in Catholic schools. And the latest position that he held was as the principal of a Catholic elementary school in New York City.
Well, Jared, just to pause you right there, obviously this is a very accomplished, intelligent individual.
Yes.
Contributor to newspapers, author of several books, elected member of the New York City School Board in the Bronx, and a school principal, among other things.
Right.
Frank Borzarelli, now that you have a little bit of background information, and of course, Frank has been on this radio program before, so some of my longtime listeners will be familiar with him from his interviews with us talking about these things, and he was very forthright about his beliefs and his viewpoints, although, like any good leader, he didn't necessarily let them inhibit him from taking care of his responsibilities in a fair and just manner. Now, that being said, Frank was dismissed from his position as a Catholic school principal last week after a busybody white liberal reporter for the, I believe it was, what, the New York Daily Mail, Jared?
New York Daily News.
New York Daily News wrote a profile on Frank, and he had done nothing recently, if he had ever done anything at all to be fired, which I don't think he had. He had certainly done nothing recently. This just came out of the blue, out of left field. She stumbled upon the fact that Frank had spoken the truth about some traditional, conservative viewpoints, and he happened to be a principal. The piece comes out, and his school administration, which had been quite supportive of him and, you know, was in possession of full knowledge of Frank's traditional beliefs, lasted 2 days before they fell on their sword and threw this man out. So, Jared, you know, I call this, I don't want to be sensational, I call this economic terrorism. You know, for all the talk about tolerance and diversity that the left likes to spout, they certainly don't have any tolerance for the kind of diverse ideas that Frank brought to his position, do they?
No, absolutely not. And the person who wrote this article for the New York Daily News made much of the fact that in this Catholic school, there's a majority of black and Hispanic students. And so the idea was, gee, how can a guy who, of course, they described him as a white supremacist, all you have to do is say several obvious things about race in the United States, you get labeled a white supremacist.
Exactly.
But they said, how can a man like this be in charge of the education of young blacks and young Hispanics? Well, what they did not include in the article is that Frank Borzilleri, ever since he's worked for Catholic schools all 6 years, time when he was a teacher and then went up through the ranks until the last 2 years was a principal, there has never, ever been the slightest hint that he was unfair in any way to people of any race. He has never had a black mark on his record, one glowing recommendation after another. That's, of course, how you become a principal. If you're a good teacher, a good administrator, they move you up. And, of course, the people at the archdiocese who fired him, as you say, they didn't even hold on for 48 hours. The people who fired him, of course, knew all about his views. His life is an open book, literally, an open five books. But this reporter, and as you say quite correctly, there was no incident of any kind. This reporter just dug up the stuff. Actually, I think the reporter was tipped off by somebody who has had a grudge against Frank for years. The reporter didn't do anything particularly original, just looked up a few things on the Internet. It became a sort of a snowball hit piece that just grew and grew. CNN besieged the archdiocese offices, and then Frank is out the door. It is just disgusting, absolutely disgusting behavior on the part of the New York Daily News, but even worse, on the part of the New York Diocese, who knew perfectly well who Frank was, and they cut him off, and a first-rate principal on the basis of this one crazy article.
And Jared, you know, we see this more and more. You know, and I'd like to again point out the blatant double standards and the rank hypocrisy that are in play here. Never, you know, we've talked countless times on this show over the course of the last 7 years. The great double standard is you can be proud of anything in the world, but you dare not be proud if you're born white. All you got to do is say something. And I think one of the things, you know, they were painting Frank as a white supremacist. Of course, a white supremacist is just any white person that doesn't grovel at the feet of the false gods of cultural Marxism. But I think one of the things that they really hit Frank with was the fact that he said diversity or multiculturalism may be a weakness. This was the hardest piece of evidence they could bring forth to prove his white supremacist credentials. We got to take a break, Jared. Hang on right there, and we'll be right back to talk more about this. Stay tuned, everybody.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking about a particularly disturbing subject that manifested itself this week, the firing of New York City Catholic school principal Frank Borzilleri this week. Jared Taylor is helping us work our way through this story. The reason we're having Jared on, of course, there's never a reason not to have Jared on, but Jared is a close personal friend with Frank's. Frank has written in the past for American Renaissance Magazine and has spoken at some of Jared's outstanding conferences. It was at one of these conferences that I first met Frank. I believe it was back in 2006. The two of us broke bread together and the rest was history. We've stayed in touch, exchanged books, and he's been on the show and exchanged emails, things like that. You're just not going to find a nicer guy. And well, as we were saying before that last break, the media targeted Frank in a story a few days ago, ended up getting national news coverage, because of his very rational and traditional conservative viewpoints. And as a result, cost him his job as a school principal. And so the rhetorical question must be asked, since when did America become a place that people can be fired from a job simply because they don't hold liberal viewpoints? I mean, is that the American way? As we said, the worst the media could pull as evidence that Frank was a so-called racist was, I think the quote, Jared, diversity is a weakness. I mean, that's it. And as I wrote, America is no longer the land of the free, but may it always remain the home of the brave. We've got a guy here now out of a job, Jared. We're going to talk about how we can help Frank, but I'd like to turn it back over to you for further commentary.
I think that something that you mentioned before the break is extremely important, the double standard here. And as a number of people who wrote in the comments section of the New York Daily News, this hit piece on Frank, they said, look, if you were to fire all of the Hispanic teachers who in New York City who are members of National Council of La Raza, or if you were to fire all of the black teachers who are members of the NAACP, you'd have no teaching staff left. And that's absolutely correct.
That's a great point.
Yes, yes, absolutely a great point. The double standard here is just absolutely excruciating. The other quotation that they had for Frank was they found some line, and I don't know what the context is, but he said that the increasing black and Hispanic population in the United States could lead America into a new dark age. That was the other quotation that they threw all around.
Yes, yes, they did.
But Frank has also written about differences in crime rates. He's also written about the fact that on any kind of meaningful aptitude test, whites will outscore blacks, and that Asians will outscore whites. And for that reason, the whole notion of affirmative action, the assumption that blacks do not get ahead because of some sort of vicious discrimination by whites, that is really a silly thing. But that is the kind of thing that you write, and you become labeled a white supremacist, and your Catholic archdiocese will kick you off your job.
You know, Jared, I want to expand a little bit more on this double standard, because it's worth risking a little repetition on this matter. So Frank is fired for having these viewpoints. You brought up the excellent parallel, and you know, what about the NAACP members who are serving in capacity as school teachers and administrators, and you know, members of La Raza and so on and so forth? I have read, you know, I've written a lot and said a lot on the radio over the course of the last 7 years, and Jared, people like you and me and Frank and people who are on the right side of the culture war will offer things up for debate in the court of public opinion. But I don't believe any of us have ever said people should be arbitrarily fired for holding certain viewpoints. I don't think I've ever said on the radio, you know, you've got to go and you've got to fire every, you know, black teacher who, you know, is a Democrat or has a liberal point of view. We have never said that. Yet, you know, we are the ones who are always attacked as vile and evil and anti-American and this, that, and the other. If there's anything that is anti-American, it is, you know, what has happened to Frank Borzilleri. Let me tell you, Frank is not the only person in America who has suffered this sort of injustice and indignity.
No, no, no. The next issue of American Renaissance, actually, is talking about some of these points. The Southern Poverty Law Center, our good friends down at McGraw,
right.
Their job is to stifle debate. And it's not just to stifle debate. If they had their way, not only would they get James Edwards off of the air, they would make sure that you had no job and no income.
That's right.
They want to starve you if they have that chance. They have gone out of their way to hound people down, tell their employers, try to get them fired from their jobs. I think it's the same mentality that rounds people up and puts them in camps. Ultimately, it's the same mentality that puts a bullet in the back of your head. For what you think and for what you say, they want to hurt you personally.
You know, I get that all the time. I know you do too, Jared. you know, death threats and people sending you emails saying, you know, the world will be a better place if someone, you know, the bullet to the back of the head is what triggered my thing. But, you know, I get that. You know, the world will be a better place if somebody just put a bullet in your head. I know for a fact we've never said anything like that, publicly or privately. James Edwards, Jared Taylor, Frank Borzilleri, the people we associate with, never once have uttered anything like that. And, you know, this happened to Frank. You know, again, he's labeled a white supremacist, which the modern-day definition of a white supremacist is anybody who doesn't hate white people. But, you know, Frank went to church a couple of days, or, you know, Catholic Mass a couple of days after this article came out, and he was accosted by someone carrying a knife inside the church building. I mean, this is their way.
That's quite right. He was not at that service, but somebody who had read about this actually barged up onto the altar during Mass, sort of shoved the priest aside and started ranting about how the church is going to fire this white supremacist principal.
Because this was Frank's church.
Finally called the police and hauled him off, and he had a knife on him, yeah. Who knows who he would have used it on if he'd had a chance.
Yeah, what if Frank had been there? I mean, this was Frank's church, and I'm sure he went there expecting to find him in one of the pews. But see, this is their way.
These are the people that accuse us of being haters, for heaven's sake. Your head's spins with the hypocrisy and the contemptible, just how contemptible it all is.
You know, again, I don't want to get too worked up over it because it is a personal issue. When you're talking about going after a man's livelihood, potentially threatening a man's life because they hold, and I would say, very rational, very traditional viewpoints. That's how I would describe my point of views and yours, Jared, and Frank's.
Yeah.
You know, that is... You got to draw a line somewhere, and I know that that's a line we would never cross, but nevertheless, I know we only have a couple of minutes left. Folks, we dedicated a whole day of coverage to this issue at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I think we put up 3 stories that day, and they were all about Frank and his plight, Jared, and his excellent website, amren.com. There's more information there. We've got to stand with the people who are suffering. As you mentioned, Jared, not too long ago, Frank went back to school and enhanced his degrees. He has student loans, and he is now out of a job. And it'll be hard for him to get another job, at least in New York, at least in school.
Be impossible. You get fired from one Catholic school, that reputation gets all around. Frank went to Catholic schools. He is a devout Catholic. This is part of his life, part of his culture, and to get kicked out of this, it's like being kicked out of your country. It's absolutely outrageous. And you're right. He went back to school. He went into debt to get not just one, but two master's degrees in order to become a better teacher, a better school administrator, and a better principal. And this is what happens to him.
Well, that being said, how can we help Frank? I know you've got, if you don't have the address handy, Jared, I do.
Well, no, I have it handy, but you have a better radio voice than I do.
I don't know about that, but listen, folks, if you got a pen and paper in hand, we've got 30 seconds to the break. So I know, as Jared mentioned, Frank would be deeply grateful to anyone who can send a check to him to help him out during this time of need. Frank Borzilleri, you might have to go to our website to get the spelling on that, but it's P.O. Box 780-142, Mazpeth, New York, 11378. Again, Frank Borzilleri, P.O. Box 780142, Mazpeth, M-A-S-P-E-T-H, New York, 11378. And you can replay this in the archives to hear a replay of that, or just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and get it there. Jared, thanks for joining me tonight and bringing more information of this to the audience's attention.
It's been my pleasure.
Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back in just a second.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Jared Taylor for coming on and giving us more information about the terrible situation surrounding Frank Borzilleri. And again, to reiterate the point again, because it needs to be said again, that is the biggest difference between those of us who are in the paleoconservative movement and those our counterparts on the left. You know, there's no hatred in our hearts. What can you say about the hearts of those who try to cut you off at the limbs? They don't want to debate. There is no tolerance for diversity, the diverse thoughts that Frank Borzarelli would bring to a room. No, if you don't bow down and worship the false gods of political correctness, they'll go after your livelihood. They'll go after your reputation. They'll go after your family. They'll, you know, some of the more engaged proponents of cultural Marxism will threaten your life. And it happens all the time here. And, you know, people like Jared, Frank, you know, my God, the guy went to church with a knife looking for him as a result of this ad, you know, this article. Now, this is what we have to put up with every day, you know, for trying to tell the truth as we see it. Every fiber of my being leads me to believe that I am right on the things that I say. I believe them with all my heart. But I would never threaten somebody's life or try to get them fired from a job because they didn't agree with me. You know, whether they're black, white, whatever. That's not how the left operates. As Jared said, they want us to suffer. They go after the people like me who stand up and speak out without apology. And unfortunately, they were able to get the best of Frank in terms of his job. And it's a shame because he's a great man and more than qualified to hold the position that he held, as Jared explained. Folks, you know, we ask you to support the few of us. And I can tell you this, you can count the number of organizations and the number of individuals who make it a part-time or full-time job to battle in the court of public opinion, to battle politically on behalf of the dispossessed majority. You can count those number of people and organizations on your fingers and toes. Not a lot of them out there. Very few more prominent than this radio program. We need your support. That's just as simple and as honest as I can tell you. We need your support. We're out here and we're enduring all of this, and I'm not trying to tell you, woe is me. I knew the risks before, you know, I got started in this 7 years ago. You know, I'm not having a pity party that I'm a target. I made myself a target when I made the decision to speak out, and that's fine. I live with that every day. You know, that's not a big deal. You know, I hope I don't become a martyr for it, but, you know, I'm just like everybody else. Most people still fundamentally agree with the kind of ideas you hear us express on this radio show. Most red state Americans still certainly believe in the kind of message you get here on the political side. Well, I'm just like everybody else. I want to live. I want to have fun. I want to be a productive member of society. I go to movies. I go shopping. I do things with my family. Just this morning, you know, I woke up and my wife and I and my daughter, we went to a city park and enjoyed a nice play date and before it got too hot. And then we came back and we cooked lunch together. I have the same dreams and hopes and ambitions as everybody else. I just am particularly motivated to stand up for what I believe is right. I want to be a good son and a good father and a good husband. I want to honor those who came before me. I want to honor my ancestors who fought and died for what they believed in during the Civil War, dying in behalf of the Confederate cause. I want to honor my grandparents who have all passed away. I want them to look down from heaven on me and say, I'm proud of you, James. You know, that's all I want. You know, I certainly don't do this for the money. I certainly don't do this for the, you know, glorification I get in the media. It's a burden, you know, but it's a labor of love. And I'll do this until God himself calls me home or until otherwise can't continue. But, you know, so far, the political cesspool has done very well for itself by any standard of measurement, particularly in this movement. We've been on the air for 7 years. And that's just the first 7 years, as far as I'm concerned. I hope there's seven more to come after this and seven more to come after that. I will be here for a long, long time, as long as y'all will have me. And it's an honor to come and be able to do this each and every Saturday night. And it's a privilege. But at the same time, folks, you see, and any time you have an incident like Frank Borzarelli, you see the risks that are involved in speaking out, because the left doesn't play by rules. There are no rules. And, you know, they play for keeps, and they're out for blood. So, you know, all we ask in return for what we're able to contribute, as little or as much as they may be in your opinion, you know, we ask for your support, your prayers. We ask, you know, we enjoy getting emails from those who are appreciative of what we bring to the table each and every Saturday night. And this is a nationally syndicated radio show. I mean, this is no small time operation, and we need your support. You know, we need your physical support, your prayerful support, and we need your financial support as well. So if this show means something to you, stand with us. Stand with those who are fighting for you. Stand with people like Frank who are suffering for you tonight. And of course, this radio program is a listener-supported media entity, and we would appreciate your support as well. And to donate to this show, you can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and at the very top in the left-hand corner, right there at the top of the homepage, you'll see a donation link where you can support this show. We're listener supported. We can't get, you know, Coca-Cola ain't going to sponsor us. We don't beat to their drummer. We don't beat to corporate America's, you know, crazed, delusional subservience to cultural Marxism. So we're not going to get that kind of money, that we should be getting for reaching an audience that we do. Very big audience. We rely on your support, you know, $25 checks and things like that. $100, that's a lot. If you can support us, we'd appreciate it. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, click on the donation link there at the top. And that being said, I will move on now. Bill Rowland, our co-host, you know, he's not on the show tonight. He found a vintage television commercial on YouTube earlier this week, and he promptly sent it over to me. It's a great commercial about Rimco's, I don't even know if they're still in business. Like, apparently this was a toy company back in the 1960s. Rimco's Johnny Reb cannon toy. And he found it on YouTube, and it's a minute-long ad that aired in the 60s. Bill said he can remember when this ad was on the air. He even bought the toy. Well, he found it again, the ad, on YouTube, and he sent it to me. And this commercial, it's like a different world, an alternate universe. What has happened to this country since the 1960s, and, you know, our best days were behind us even then. But from the 1960s until today, in this commercial, again, this ad gives you a little glimpse into that. It's like an alternate universe, as if it never even happened. This commercial rightly portrays the Confederates as heroes, and the toy even came with a replica battle flag for the kids. And the word they use the word gay. They sing, you know, when Johnny comes marching home, the word gay in this ad meant happy. Imagine that. Imagine living in a world like that. It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that far into our past where, you know, this was a reality. And what's been taken from us can be taken back. I truly believe that. If you were a cultural Marxist, if you were one of these radical Zionist egalitarians, and you surveyed America in the early 20th century, when we still, you know, really had a good presence in all of the American institutions, church, media, schools, etc., you looked at America in the early 20th century and you said, you know, what's it going to take for us to completely pervert all of their institutions, for us to take over their institutions and subvert them and make them work against the founding Christian stock of this country? If you were them in the early 1900s, the task that they had before them, the task that they were all too successful in fulfilling, was far more daunting than what it would be for us in 2011, to simply take it back. To flex our political muscle and take it back. You know, I believe what can be taken from us can be, what has been taken from us can be taken back. We'll take a break. We'll be back, talk more about it. Stay tuned.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I want to quickly take a call from Frank in Pennsylvania. Frank, you're on the line.
Oh, hi, James. Irrespective of that fellow that you spoke of that lost his job, you can see any kind of dissenting view out there that goes against the now politically correct idea is going to get you fired. And it started back with that, even the Frankfurt School. A fellow named Herbert Marcuse, who was one of the founders, had a theory. It was called progressive tolerance, which in essence meant you had total intolerance to anything that ran counter to your way of thinking. And with this element all through the media and now all through education, you can see they absolutely allow no room for any dissenting view.
That's right.
Yeah. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you for calling in with such a wonderfully intelligent observation. I mean, this gentleman you just heard from, folks, that called in from Pennsylvania is perfectly indicative of the kind of audience that tunes into this show, and we thank him for being a part of it. Joining me now in the studio, Eddie the Bombardier Miller has walked in and graced me with his presence here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio. Eddie, when you were driving to the studio tonight, you were listening to the interview that I was conducting with Jared Taylor about the principal in New York, our friend Frank Borzarelli, who was fired for having, you know, as I say, very basic traditional conservative viewpoints. And this was, of course, the interview that our last caller from Pennsylvania was referring to. So I'd like to get you to weigh in on that real quick.
Well, I'll tell you, it just proves once again, James, that the Constitution is dead. It's been DOA quite some time. If a man can't even voice his First Amendment rights of free speech, and when he's right, and the facts back him up 100%.
He's just, you know, voicing that on his own time, not even in school. Yeah. It's not like he was given, you know, calling assembly and you know, preaching his political point of views to his students. I mean, you know, this was just stuff he had done outside of his job as a principal.
You know what, James? It proves, and that kind of links up to something I got to say about my church.
I knew you'd get back on them somehow.
I mean, my chart, I tell you what, it's getting worse, James. But, I mean, that just proves that there is no such thing as free speech. There's no such thing as constitutional speech in this country. And it's filtered down. It's infiltrated everywhere. I'm just heartbroken. You know, James, the other night, we're having a dedication tomorrow that we've, our church, Mankin Road Baptist here in Memphis, we've put on like a new 12-room addition to the school. It's got a laboratory, science laboratory, computer lab, and 9 other additional big classrooms. And when I noticed in the paper that came out, the little church bulletin, it was thanking everyone who's, you know, been a major, held a major part in doing the school. They said that that Brother Dan Webb and Alvaro, who is he was an illegal alien at one time. He was a Mexican. He came in through Chicago by his own words. He was a gangbanger by his own words. But now he's been almost like sanctified by this church because what he's done, James, and the minister talked about it the other night. The way Alvaro, who saved him hundreds of thousands of dollars, he's gone out here and rounded up all these illegal aliens, these Mexicans, which I know y'all probably heard me say this, but it's about to destroy. It has upset me to no end. I tell you what, James can tell you, my church was my refuge. I've only been a Christian for 29 months now. It was my refuge. It was where I could go to get away from all the hell of life. And I could, you know, be amongst my spiritual family, people I would love and give my life for. But they just cannot stop putting the dog dung with the punch in the punch bowl. You know, they come out and they talk about Alvaro recruiting all these illegal aliens or Mexicans. And I tell you, James, I was over there one day and there was 30 Mexicans if there was one. Not one of them could speak a lick of English. And I talked about this to a deacon the other night at church. I brought it out. Brother Wayne was about 8 feet from me when I got kind of hot, you know, my history. And I know the good reverend had to hear me, but he didn't say nary a word. But I was, you know, I told the minister, the deacon, I said, these people are not Spanish. We don't have a Spanish church, Hoss. We have a Mexican church. And these people have come over here, and they've cut the throat of American workers. James, I may have told you, you may know, I worked in construction a lot when I was young. My dad had a construction company. We hired all whites in the trades. We had blacks who did the labor, including me. I did the labor. I was unskilled. I did labor right along in there with them. While we were in the union. I made good money as a common labor, but it was just backbreaking work. Well, see, now you can't find work like that. When I was at church, they never put out a call for the church members to come out, the young kids, the high school kids who want to do the work in the summer to help work on this church. What they've done, this is my church, they've come in and they've cut the throat of the white Anglo-Saxon Germanic worker by bringing all these legals in, illegals in. You know why? Because they can get it cheaper. They can get it a little bit cheaper. Damn their own congregation, damn the American white workers. They just want to get it cheaper, and they love these Mexicans, James, more than they love us. The minister is crazy about him. He nearly has an orgasm when he sees these Mexicans come in. I mean, it's just destroying me. The only thing holding me on in this church right now is the people I love there, and I know most of them feel like I do. They just do not have the guts to speak up for fear of the Jews, so to speak. If we speak up against these Mexicans, then it's going to poison the water with the minister who has he hires an iron grip on his church. But I've just about lost all respect for him, James. Because if I exercise my First Amendment over there like this teacher, they will probably want to boot me out of there, James.
Well, I can guarantee you that's what they'll do. Hey, I told Eddie, I said, whatever you do, Ed, when you come to the station tonight, don't go on around on your church. Don't go on around on your church, you know, because we do that every week. But actually, you know, I didn't say that. I didn't say that to him. But, you know, you put a microphone in Eddie's hands, he's going to talk about what he's passionate about. But listen, you know, I actually got a call from a good friend of mine in Arkansas this week, and he's been a very, very generous contributor to the radio program over the years. And he said that he you know, really enjoyed Eddie's commentary about his church last week, and that you did on our previous program, Eddie. So a lot of people are getting it, and he thought it's especially effective because we are speaking, you know, the truth to power about these churches from a Christian perspective, because we're Christians ourselves. And we're taking these churches to task, and he thinks that therefore carries more weight than if a non-believer was blasting the church. But I'm looking at Eddie now. You know, he comes in, you know, fire and brimstone, wearing his do-it-all grandpa T-shirt with a little cartoon drawing of a hammer and a wrench and a fish hook and a pair of keys and a paintbrush and a do-it-all grandpa. I tell you, you look at Eddie, and you wouldn't expect – you wouldn't expect him to be as fired up as he is, but anyway, so he's got to say one more thing about his church. You got to get one more barb in about his church. Here he is,
folks. I'm going to say what I've just told you. You don't any mamby pamby call in or write in and say that's totally non-Christian, because listen, I have been studying my guts out for about 3 weeks. We're putting the show together for you people, hopefully within the next week or two. Maybe we'll wait until other people call in with some questions about the church. But I have searched the Bible through and through, and I can guarantee you, in the King James Bible, there is no place in there that backs up any of this social Marxist crap that the ministers are putting out. Like my minister, he's rock solid when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When he gets away from that, they act like you, not only are you supposed to love, you know, the Mexicans and the blacks, you're supposed to love them more than your own. You're supposed to defer to them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, James. It's nowhere. Not only, you know, there's a lot more there. It talks about the curse of Ham and how the children of Ham will be servants for all the rest of their life. And if that's not the black people, I don't know who it is. Some people say it's the people of Cain. It could be, but I lean more toward Ham. But I would just like to let you people know out there, do not let someone put a guilt trip on you for telling you what your feelings are toward your race, and loving your own race is non-Christian, because it is not in the Bible. I've searched it solid with my Bible and computer for 3 weeks, and there's not one comma in there about that crap.
What about the gracious Spaniards? You know, because as Eddie said, he brings up to his minister's attention that we don't share a border with Spain. These people are not Spaniards. They're not Europeans, but they can't even get that. All right, one last thing. Thank God the end of this hour is coming up, so we're going to reboot. We're going to reset. What was that? 1 minute. We got 1 minute. So you got 1 minute, and then we're gonna take a break. We're gonna reboot, reset, and we're gonna come back and collect ourselves. I'm gonna put Eddie, out here underneath a fan and give him a bottled water and let him cool down. You got 30 seconds to say it.
Another thing, folks, all these limp-wristed light and loafers, ministers and deacons and people in the church, when you try to get them to do something to help you, go visit your congressman or senators or get in the streets, and I have said this before, but it's been true. It really hit me last week. They can't do that because of Romans 13, the way they so misinterpret Romans 13. And would like to get what they will try to destroy. They will take action against the government if it comes into their own to their benefit to try to get the gracious Spaniards in. Oh, it's okay to violate the Romans 13 then, but when you want them to do something for the white folks, no, we can't do that because Romans 13 stops us from doing that.
I hope some of you got that. Eddie certainly knows what he's saying and knows what he means. Hopefully you do too. But I'm just kidding. Eddie's making some very good points tonight, as he always does. I tell you, Eddie walked in the show fired up tonight, boys and girls. We're gonna get him against the ropes, get that trainer to give him a pack down, like they did in Punch Out, the great Nintendo classic, Little Mac, Eddie's Little Mac. We're gonna get him a beat down, and we're gonna bring him back for the next round, round two, hour three, coming back. Stay tuned. I'm one.